We've been looking at lessons on listening over the last little while, so we'll return to that today. Genesis chapter 12, that's where we're going. So as a quick review of what we've looked at before, learned a few things from Adam, and the key thing being that we shouldn't ignore what God tells us. And we also learned a little bit about factors that can impact the good information that God gives in the case of Adam. And we considered Noah a little bit. Again, these are just a little brief summary. No matter how startling the information, still reliable since God was the source. The state of the society of the world does not limit God's ability to provide information, thankfully. And we're to do exactly what God says. No adding, subtracting, changing. Listening to God does not mean the world will listen to you. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of these lessons we've learned, we'll see them repeated in the lives of the other believers we look at, as might be expected. And so today I wanted to look at, and I couldn't do this in one part, it's Abraham. So lessons on listening, Abraham part one. Today, because there's much written. Abraham is, as you know, a very, very significant figure in the scriptures, mentioned a great deal, called by God before the nation of Israel ever existed, well before that. And when he was called, you know, when he was living in Mesopotamia, who knows why God called him? It's interesting, isn't it? The first man God calls, really, really, after Noah, I guess, Abraham. In Genesis 12, we find him in his home. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now there's a simple lesson. Again, we'll see a lot of these lessons repeated, but basic lesson is that you don't doubt God's information. Here we are, Abraham is 75 years old. By that age, you know, presumably you are well established where you live, you have family and you have, you know, relatives, a home and business and all that. And God tells him, leave, get up and go somewhere else. Now, how difficult would that be for a man to do when he's 75 years old? Not you know, again, here you notice here, God says, this is what I want you to do. In verse 4, so Abraham departed. What do you mean? Abraham, this is what I want you to do, and that's exactly what Abram did. And it's quite a long journey, as you know, I was looking at a modern day map of where Abram and went, and so he would have gone from the Persian Gulf on the way up between Iran and Iraq all the way up to Kurdistan, which is where he would have stayed for a few years. And then the way back down through Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and Gaza, all the way down there. So, you know, it's quite a journey because you couldn't go across straight because the Arabian Desert is there. So you go up and south. But anyhow, he ends up in Bethel. And verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So that gives you the overall journey. But in the middle there, they were in Haran for a bit. So eventually after that, Abraham goes to Bethel, and there's a short stint in Egypt, as you're aware. Then he comes back to Bethel, and at that point, Abraham and Lot separate. Abram tells Lot, you can have what you want, and he picks the Jordan Valley, and Abram goes to Canaan, settles in Canaan. And the Jordan Valley is on the west side is where they think Sodom is, on the west side of the Jordan, but not 100% sure about that. So now we go to verse chapter 13. After that, those journeys. 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northwest, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So again, God tells him this wonderful promise that, you know, his seed is going to be such multitude of seed. This information that Abram just, okay, takes it in stride, keeps on doing what God tells him to do. And shortly after this, you'll see, we're not going to read that record, where he rescues Lot and Melchizedek blesses him, and Abraham honors God. Then we get to chapter 15 after that. So again, like I said, there's much about Abram in the Bible. And chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. It's interesting, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And he brought him forth, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now first God gives him a vision. And then the word comes onto him, and then he takes him out to show him the stars. You see this constant dialogue that God had with Abram. And Abram, when he had a little bit of an issue, what did he do? He said, God, how are you going to, you know, he takes it right back to the source, which is a great lesson. You'll see that again in Abram's life. If you have a problem with the information, take it back to the source. Because God is the one who gave it, not a problem, or maybe you want more understanding. And you see that in the lives of many, many believers. They just go back to God and say, well, what do you mean? And God gives them the information. Here, said, I don't know how this is going to happen. He said, don't worry, I'm going to do this. He takes it right back to God. But he never doubts anything that God tells him. After this, God makes a covenant to give him the land. And you know that covenant that God makes with Abram has far-reaching consequences. It's mentioned time and time and time again throughout the scriptures. So there's the incident with Hagar when she tries to circumvent God's promise and do it another way, and that is dealt with. Then he ends up having Ishmael, and even since God had made the promise to Abram that his all his seed will be blessed, Ishmael too has much progeny after that to keep, so that God continues to honor his promise to Abraham. Now we hit chapter 17. Again, it's been fun reading these records just to see, you know, some of the very simple but very, very powerful truths that God had as in his word. I mean, here they are written very simply. You never see Abram questioning God. You see him talking to God. You see him always receptive to what God has to tell him. You know, and he just called out of who is this guy? No one, not sure, but God called this man, so it must be very, very significant. Worth listening, reading about. In chapter 17, verse 1, this is now 24 years after God had promised him, or first spoken to him. It's 24 years later. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to him, Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Now, he'd already made another covenant with him prior to this. This is another one. And will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, it's been a while since God spoke to him. After all those years, Abraham still believes the promise, despite the passage of time. So what a wonderful lesson. You stay put on what God tells you, unless there's more information that it changes it. But if he hasn't changed it, if he's given you information, then you stay put on that information. Here it is many, many years later, and Abram still believes the promise that God made to him. And we'll see that. Verse 5, Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man shall child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is brought with the money, thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, and he hath broken my covenant. And as God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? You know, and we'll see later, we're going to see it in the next chapter, but Abraham believed the promise that God had given to him. Abraham believed that promise to the point that he was joyful in his heart. He laughed. This is not laughter of unbelief, as we'll see. He believed God. You know, there is great joy and rejoicing to be found in the things of God's word. Great joy and rejoicing. Here, Abraham laughed. He said, Oh my goodness, I'm going to have a child. My wife's going to have a son. And we'll see that again shortly. And we'll come back to that. But it's interesting to see. Verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And if you read through the Bible about Abraham and Israel, you'll see that God constantly refers to the covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, time and time again, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, starting with Abraham. So it's very, very significant what God had, and we'll see that again. There's far-reaching impacts of that. Verse 20, As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. You know, it was a concern he had, so God said, Don't worry, I've heard that as well. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. You know, God kept his promise to Abraham. because Ishmael was his seed also. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with Abraham, and when God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day as God had said unto him. Now, you know, looking at Abraham's example of listening for information, God says, this is what I want. I want you to circumcise all the males. You know, he could have said, you know, I'm old. Let me think about this for a while. It's interesting. You don't see any of that. In fact, the fact that God in verse 23 says, in the self same day, you know, God doesn't, you know, the reason God says those kind of, some of those words you put in there, you understand why he says does that. It doesn't like, okay, yeah, we'll get to it by next Friday or whatever. No. God says, in the self same day, Abraham did it right away. You see his wonderful trust in God, the information that God had given. It came from God. He never doubted it. He said, okay, you know, this is what you said. This is what I'm going to do. And he did it the very same day. And he was an older man as well. Now 90, 99, right? And right away. It's a wonderful verse. In verse 24, Abraham was 90 years old, 9, when he was circumcised. Even God makes that point in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the self same day, and there it is again, twice, was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. And it's a wonderful, wonderful response from Abraham to God and the information that God had given to him. Oh, that we could all respond with the believing that Abraham had to the scriptures that God has given to us. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now Abraham had laughed as well, hadn't he? So did Sarah. And the Lord, verse 13, said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? He never asked that question about Abraham, did he? Why did Sarah laugh? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a great lesson. You know, what a wonderful lesson to learn here from this particular bit of information. You know, the information you receive may not jive with your understanding of God's ability to do things. In other words, you may doubt. You may think it's impossible. You may think it's not possible. But if it came from God, that's the important thing. If the information comes from God, it is completely reliable. You dare never respond to that information with doubt. Abraham hadn't doubted. He had said, no, this is going to happen. It's so wonderful. And she doubted, how could this happen? There's a very big difference. You know, when I was talking about joy and rejoicing, or joy and peace in believing, what a great joy in believing God's word. God told him, you're going to have a son. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to have a son. He didn't say, I'm too old. This is not going to happen. This is great. He immediately took the information God had given to him and rejoiced in it. Now, how about us? I mean, you think about all the promises in the scriptures that God has given to us. We can approach all of them in the same way in which, you know, Abraham and Sarah approached the promise. God says, you know, you speak in tongues much, he builds you up. Oh, how could that happen? Come on. Or I can say, builds me up? Man, fantastic. I'm going to speak much in tongues because that's what the scriptures say. God loves a cheerful giver. You mean I just got paid? I get to give to God? That's fantastic. Or I can say, I don't know. How am I going to make the rest of the 90% or whatever? How's that going to possibly meet my needs by the end of the month or whatever? I can't do that. Come on. That's the Old Testament. God doesn't want us to give anymore. You can go down the road. You know, he delights in our prayers. He delights in my prayer. I can't wait to pray to him. Just like Abraham, when he was so blessed about having a child. I can't wait to pray to him. Or I could say, come on, he doesn't listen to prayer anymore. That's too hard for him. You see, it's a great lesson. Here we are. We have both sides of that right away with Abraham and Sarah. A wonderful promise made. Abraham laughed at, oh, that's fantastic. You know, you can. What a blessing it is to have God's word. So you can, throughout the days of our lives, all day long, in the evenings, at nighttime, you know, David meditating in the night on the scriptures and all these things, they just joy and rejoice and say, this is great. I can't believe that God took the time to save me and give me his information. Or we can say, oh, come on. You know, and you can see God's response to the, oh, come on. You think it's too hard for me? You know? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. you know, you might as well come clean. For she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? You know, that's quite a relationship. God says this. Should I really want, you know? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Look at this wonderful statement here. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. God must consider that to be something very important to do. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now, what a joy and a blessing it is for parents to guide their home and their family in the way of, so that they will keep the way of the Lord. Now, keeping the way of the Lord is obviously down to the children, but it's up to the parents to teach them. And God says, I know that he will do that. I know he's going to guide his house that way. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Again, information. I said some of the lessons we learned will be repeated. And here's a lesson we learned with Noah. God just gave Abraham some very startling information. He says he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham doesn't say, What? He doesn't even flinch. The information given to him, he says, okay, he accepted it completely to the point that he's now all he's doing is asking, I know it's going to be destroyed, but are you going to destroy the... He didn't say that's not going to happen. Immediately, there's not even a hint or doubt in his anything we've read here when Abraham is spoken to by God, is there? Nothing. It's always like, okay, of course, I'll do that. Yeah, I know you're going to destroy them, but the righteous as well? Just a little question, if I may. Verse 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked and be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Look at the relationship he has with God. He's able to ask him this question with great reverence. God doesn't say to him, what, you dare speak to me that way? Does he? You don't see that. All you see is, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, Abraham, I'll spare the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack five. You know, him saying dust and ashes, you know, he shows you his great reverence in talking to God here. Like, he's reverent. He's not like, well, you know, here I am, Abraham, the great. No, you don't see any of that. You say, look, I'm just dust and ashes. Can I ask another question? Peradventure, verse 28, there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. Now, sometimes I read this and I think, I picture Abraham standing behind a rock and kind of ducking down. But that's not what it says. That's just me. The questions that he's asking God. But, hey. And he said, no, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. And God could have responded, what do you mean? You've been speaking to me for many times now. You don't see that. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. You know, Abraham talking to God in this fashion, you know, shows you in his barter, he's basically bartering with God, you know, asking him questions. And the great confidence and reverence that you can have and have confidence before God. You know, again, he had some information. You know, you think God didn't know that his concern was Lot? Of course he knew his concern was Lot in this conversation. It wasn't like he knew that. But you see, Abraham took the information back to God. That's where the information came from. He didn't spread it around and try to ask. He said, God, what do you... He said, no, I won't destroy it. So the great confidence that he has in speaking to him. You know, it's a wonderful lesson to learn. You know, when we're getting information, we continue to live in being receptive to God with great reverence for him day by day. That was a quality that marked Abraham's whole life. You see it there. He never questions God. You know, leave. Okay, I'm 75, family. No, just leave. Okay, we're going. You know, then you know, all the other things, we didn't read all the details of what he did, but God blessed him, and the blessings that God gave him through the voice of Melchizedek, and the blessings that God gave him because of the covenants, because his constant reverence for God. He never questioned. He never doubted what God had told him. And he believed it with great joy and rejoicing. It wasn't like, you know, okay. No, it was like, oh, this is great. This is what I get to do. What a blessing. And God honored him. And now we'll leave Abraham here after his, you know, discussion. We didn't notice, again, in a lot of those records, there's very little or if anything said about the mechanism by which God gave the information to Abraham. But the interesting thing is that it was very clear. There was no question. Remember, the responsibility for God to give the information is God's responsibility. That's what he has to do. Abraham heard it and was very, very perfectly clear. So if God has information to deliver, he's very good at his job. Our job is to be reverent, receptive, and to just accept the information without doubt. So, you know, some wonderful lessons and more to learn in Abraham's life as we go to Abraham part 2 next time. But that'll be it for today. Okay?